What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
I think that the first key for me is how are we starting off? Like, where are we at home? Are we away to start off this? Yeah. You know, that's the first thing I always look at. And then I'm looking for primetime game. Hey, make sure the Texans get some primetime games. Mm-hmm. You'll be ready to roll. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's that Thursday night. Where is that Thursday night game and where is that bye week, yeah, right? That's where I think it's very important, that bye week, to see, are we at I like it when that bye week is sort of in the middle of the season. Sometimes we've had it one year where it was like the fifth week of the season. So I knew we would have a long stretch there. So bye week is very important for me.
That's Houston Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans before the release of last night's NFL schedule, talking about what he looks for when the schedule is released. He looks for primetime games, and he looks for the bye week. So I hope that he's happy with the Houston Texans having a bye week in week 7. Because guess what? They got 0 primetime games. Shouldn't be a surprise to anybody once we found out that the NFL is no longer handing out primetime games like participation trophies, that the league would perhaps go away from the Texans on even a Thursday night game. So here we are. What's up, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday, May 12th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant. As you heard Mr. Voiceman himself say, you can get aboard 713-780-3776 to call or text the HRNP listener line. You can join us in our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. See me in my tropical shirt. It's a bunch of alpacas wearing sombreros. That's fun. You can also tweet us at Gallant Says, at ESPN975, at Top Knot Man himself, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Sean, this is a bit of a disappointing Friday, right? I mean, once again, the Houston Astros did not play a game on Thursday. All we know about the Astros today, as far as injuries go, is that Jose Altuve is about to begin a major league rehab assignment with the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. Maybe he needs a bodyguard to prevent bad things from happening to him, like they happened to Michael Brantley and Chaz McCormick, from overtraining. I don't know if the trainer for the Space Cowboys don't want to besmirch him. It's like Tony Perkis from Heavyweights or something like that. Anyway, Sean, we got to talk about the schedule today. So, where are you at right now? 0 primetime games for your beloved Houston Texans. Your team. No national television.
I'll be honest. I don't know if I was surprised, and the surprise was also a little bit of like an insult. But I was a little bit. I was like, really? 0? Wow. They're not messing around. Now, I think that if I didn't, have this job, I probably would not have cared whatsoever. Same. I probably wouldn't have even noticed.
So same.
But I was like, wow, 0? Like, none? Not even the Thursday nighter against Bryce Young and the Panthers?
That's what I was hoping for. You couldn't even get that.
Against Anthony. There's what? Yeah, all the first or second round quarterbacks are on the Texans schedule.
Right.
And they just don't have a primetime game.
They're only playing one game late in the afternoon. 3 o'clock on the road against the Denver Broncos.
Also, didn't they go? They went on the road last year against the Broncos.
They did.
What gives?
I don't know.
Can we get a home and home?
I'm not sure. But that was already determined.
Make Russell Wilson come to NRG Stadium?
That was already determined, though. Again, the thing with the schedule release, you always know who they're playing. It's just a matter of when and if you're going to get any primetime games. And maybe there will be some flex for the Texans this year. But look, I think they're locally.
I don't think there's going to be a flex this year.
Maybe there will be. Ye of little faith, Sean.
Their last five games are all against the Colts and Titans.
But what about the early games? What if all of a sudden...
I don't think they can flex it early.
What if Will Levis comes in for the Titans, huh? They played the Titans a couple times the last couple of weeks. What if it's a battle between Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud for a playoff spot? Last game of the year, week 18. You don't know. You don't know.
Maybe December 10th at the New York Jets?
That one could happen.
The battle for Jake Asmon?
The battle for Jake Asmon's soul. Will Jake finally admit that the Texans are a better franchise than the Jets? I'm just kidding. I can't even say that seriously. So look, the Texans are locally relevant again, right? But it's clear the NFL doesn't hold them in the same regard. No primetime games. Not even a Thursday game. So I'm with you, Sean. Do I care? I don't know. But we work in sports talk radio. I must care. I must find a way. So, we have a holy coin here. It's been blessed by the United States government. George Washington on one side. The hell is this? Is that John Denver? Is this John Denver on the back? I don't even know. Whatever the case. I'm going to flip a coin to determine whether or not I'm angry that the Texans have no primetime games or low-key thrilled. Because I guess that's like the best spin I can put on this, right? I can't honestly say, like, I'm happy the Texans don't have any primetime games. I can't do that. So, George Washington, I'm angry, incensed about the lack of primetime. I don't know who this is.
John Denver, you're taking the country roads back to...
This might be a woman. I honestly do not know who the hell this is on the back of the car.
I'll inspect it after.
We'll look afterwards. But if it's the back, if it's that side, I'm gonna be thrilled, okay? So we're going to do a little coin toss here because this is how real sports radio works. This is what they do on all those television shows. They flip coins and then they determine who takes
first
what
take,
side.
They're about to flip a coin right now and talk game 7 of Sixers-Celtics.
Right. Is Stephen A. Smith going to say like that James Harden actually is going to come through in game 7 or is he going to say otherwise? I don't know.
The coin decides.
All right. The holy coin of John Denver, I think, and or a lesbian woman with a mullet. Let's flip it. Oh, it's heads. I got to be mad. How dare the National Football League keep Houston down? Fourth biggest city in the country. Some would argue it's the third biggest city in the country. Move aside Chicago and your crime rates and everybody moving out of that corrupt state. How are the Texans with the CJ Stroud from the Ohio State University only on national television 0 times? It's a disservice to one of the biggest cities in our nation. They got D'Amico Ryans as head coach. They have C.J. Stroud. Hey, have you heard of a guy by the name of Nico Collins? One of the many wide receivers in the National Football League. Malik Collins. Have you seen a defensive lineman like that before? Named Malik Collins? Probably not. Hey, Derek Stingley Jr. Can't be worse than last year. That's a reason for national TV. I think it is. Come on, guys. This is an outrage. I think that the NFL needs to take a look at itself in the mirror and wonder how the hell they can live with themselves when the following teams are getting nationally televised games. The Chargers got 6? What? Do we enjoy watching a team somehow commit suicide with leads every single time that they possibly can? 6? Sean Mapes is maybe like, yeah.
I mean,
it is kind of funny.
That it is fun.
How do they get 6? That's where I'm like, you could give one to the Texans, right?
Well, because, yeah, like the Texans, Cardinals, and I forgot what other two teams. But there's four teams that just have zero.
The Packers have five with Jordan Love? I get it. The Packers have a big fan base nationally. Get out of here. The Raiders have five. Jimmy Garoppolo's their quarterback.
Okay, that's actually crazy.
That's nuts.
That's pretty crazy.
They weren't a good team last year. The Bears have four. That's because of the Chicago fan base. But tell me how the Bears are any more entertaining than the Texans this coming season. I'm trying to be outraged here again. The coin said I had to be. The Saints have three? How? Who's under center for New Orleans this year?
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr! I actually forgot for a second. I was like, is it Andy Dalton still? Oh, wait, no. He's... Where is Andy Dalton? I forgot where Brian
is. Carolina.
He's in Carolina.
Wow, this is a good little off-season test.
The Titans have two? That makes no sense to me.
All right, now I'm starting to actually get a little bit like, wait, what? What gives?
The Los Angeles Rams have two? Even the Commanders have one. Jesus. I mean, look. Am I actually mad? No. I flipped a coin. I'm trying to be bad here. You couldn't give them one? I don't know. I feel like the game against Bryce Young, which is, I think, 2 days before October, October 29th, I think that one could have been flexed into a nationally televised game. Thursday, Monday. That's it. That's all we're asking for. So anyway, there you go. Texans, no primetime games. Are you mad? We're going to talk about this all show long. I'm just kidding. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. Last night, we saw somebody impersonate James Harden. And on top of that, saw James Harden be James Harden. Plus some other thoughts from the NBA playoffs. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Not Santa tweeted at Sean and I, at Gallant says, at Sean A. Mapes. Jose Altuve's on rehab assignment. And you start with schedule talk? You don't work at the flagship anymore. That's true. I didn't have somebody pull a gun on me or bring out some brass knuckles to intimidate me into talking about the Texans schedule in the first segment now that I'm over here. But also, what are we supposed to say when it comes to an Altuve rehab assignment? Don't overwork him? Like apparently Michael Brantley is and Jazz McCormick is?
Yeah, we'll see if he comes back in 20 days.
I guess we could tell you that you could listen to Sugarland Space Cowboy games on ESPN 92.5. So that's a reason to listen. Altuve's going to be playing. I just hope that they don't overwork him. I don't know why this is a thing. And of course, the Astros injury situation has turned into this thing where it's comical because of the mystery that's surrounding it. It has given me a tickle or two, but I don't know what else you want us to say. Here's what we're going to be keeping an eye on. For Jose Altuve, what he's playing for Sugarland.
Yeah, let's see how long it takes for his pop to come back. If he can take a couple of these AAA pitchers deep, then I'll be feeling good about it. Even though Michael Brantley also played well in AAA. And
he did.
He's still not playing too well.
That's the problem. He played too well. Yeah, the Astros got to start playing games on Thursdays. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. We've got Thomas in the Heights with some thoughts on the Texans' schedule. No primetime games for Houston. Thomas, what's up, bud?
Hey, man, I'm so mad. Like, it's a perfect day in May. I'm so upset that we don't have any primetime games. And, but seriously, Paulie, I was calling. I love your show, but I got to get the hype train going. Dynamo, Shell Energy, Saturday against the top team in the West. Let's fill it up, baby. Go Orange!
Okay. Dynamo hype.
You can listen to those games on ESPN 97.5.
How about that? I did not know that. I should have known that. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters. I love Glenn. That's all I got on the Dynamo. That's all I got. Are they good this year?
I don't know.
I think they are surprisingly good.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Someone was trying to argue to me on this group chat that we're in, a sports group chat. He's from Philadelphia. That if Philadelphia advances to the Eastern Conference Finals, that this would be the greatest year an American sports city has ever had because of the Eagles, the Phillies, the Sixers, and the Philadelphia Union of Major League Soccer all advancing. And then he was trying to push that Major League Soccer is a more relevant sport than the National Hockey League. I got to say, Houston has a Major League Soccer team, and I would say that the zest, the enthusiasm for said team is pretty minimal. So I don't know if I can quite go that far. There is some frustration on the text line and on Twitch about the Texans not having a primetime game. From the 409, why don't the Texans have a Thursday night game? From Pat 409, I think it's because the NFL just said, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing it. And good, it's about time. It was ridiculous that every single team played a nationally televised game. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, because baseball definitely doesn't do that.
No.
And then I know basketball also doesn't do that because the Kings went like 15 years without having one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow. The NFL was the only team or only league that, you know, had every team, you know, participation trophy. If you're in the NFL, you will get a primetime game.
It doesn't do anybody any favors either. Like, imagine being one of these god-awful teams and you're like, yeah, but we want to be shown on national TV. Do you? Do you want everyone to be reminded that you blow? Like, no, you don't. You don't want that.
You probably get a bump in attendance.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you probably
especially
do.
Here. Well, if it's a Thursday night game, let's be honest, no one's going to show up.
Because
of the traffic was a nightmare.
Last year they played literally during a World Series game.
I still think it would have been bad for a Thursday night
great.
Game.
It would have been great.
All Eagles fans there regardless. It would have.
Yeah, because all the, yeah.
I mean, the World Series made it even a bigger percentage of Eagles fans there. But look, sometimes you want to keep it in your backyard. It's like the first, for some people that maybe start going back to the gym again or go to the gym for the first time after a while. For a little bit of time, you don't want anyone to see. You don't. Maybe you're skinny fat. You're just really skinny, like I was when I first went to the gym. I was a twig. Maybe you're not looking your best. Like, you don't want people to see you right away. So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. On a real note, I am cool with it. But I also don't care.
You brought up a good point though that you because they don't have a Thursday game. You are working 17 out of 18
that sucks. Yes.
Sundays.
That sucks. We were trying to figure out a bachelor party. One of my friends had his third bachelor party a couple of weeks ago. Another one of my friends is about to have his second bachelor party. I don't know if that's...
How have you had zero and all your friends have
because
multiple?
Because my two best friends got divorced after a year. That's why. It's fine. Look, all I'm trying to say here is that if you're going to go do a bachelor party during football season, it helps to not have the Texans playing. Because sadly, you know, my fall is like, I don't take any days off in the fall. Because in the fall, football's on. And you're supposed to, if you're in sports radio, like show up to work every single day during football season. Although ironically, like this is the time of year in Houston, generally, where people seem to care the least. I would say from October through December, given how bad the Rockets have been. And of course, where the Texans have been the last couple.
Well, late October.
Yeah. You're right. It's November. Yeah. It's November now. Once the hangover from the Astros World Series appearance wears off, then there you go. Another text, wake up call. Houston, we are still one of the worst teams in the NFL. I'm surprised this many people want to talk about it. Think of Kirk Cousins playing on the Texans, says the 8-3-2. He'd go 18-0. What? No. Stop. Why?
Man, they give anyone cell phones these days.
Why are we forcing Kirk Cousins in? I love Thomas. Why are we talking about the Dynamo? What's going on? I get it. The Astros didn't play yesterday, but Jesus, can you guys get yourselves together? It's Friday. Maybe you guys have been hitting the margaritas a little bit earlier, but most of these places that even serve alcohol aren't open until 11 today. What are you guys doing? You put some tequila in your coffee like it's bleeping Sicario? Come on, guys. HRW on the Twitch. The Texans will be flexed. How do so many people care about the schedule? This isn't us. This is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Texans will be flexed into a nationally televised game for Patrick Crayton. Sure. Okay. I don't know. I hope so, I guess, but I kind of want to keep it all behind the kimono.
Top five Texans flex candidates for late in the season.
Coming up next. No, I'm not doing it.
Top three?
No. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. That would be bad. Mega,
maybe the Jags game?
Mega on the Twitch. Paulie G hates having to work during Texans game two. Yes. God, they sucked. Mega, you know how many games I've gone to NRG Stadium and I've just been like sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, why? They've had a lot of just monumentally bad teams. And I'm talking about one of the nice things about the teams having a Thursday night game is you get to have a weekend off during football season, like where you're not like basically glued to your couch with a notepad writing down notes about what happens on Sunday. That's all I'm asking for. I just want to have a bachelor party weekend, okay? That's all I'm asking for. Why couldn't the Texans get one more national TV game? That's the only thing I really care about. Like, why wasn't there a Thursday game? Because now it's just one weekend that I could potentially do this thing. Anyway.
Maybe Christmas Eve against the Browns. That's a flex candidate. By the way, they do.
What
they
a Christmas played, present, by the
they
way.
They play the Browns in Houston, and they play Denver. Oh, no, Denver's a home game, too. I was going to say, they have like basically the same schedule as last year, it feels like.
Yeah.
Because they also, no, that was 2 years ago. They played the Panthers. Like, it feels like they played these teams all the time.
Maybe they did. I don't even know anymore. Houston Dab says Paul goes to the games to eat free food. The food's better, but the food's not that good. You know what I always used to love? Like certain games, the Texans cafeteria in the media area would be better than others, and they have steadily improved over the last couple of years. But I remember there would always be like one game, and it would just like kind of show you how meaningless the AFC South games were. It'd be like a Texans Jaguars game, and essentially like the pregame meal and the halftime meal would be nachos. Like, enjoy. Here's some nachos,
chips, and melted yellow cheese.
And then again, nachos. I was like, come on, can't step it up a little bit? Anyway, I'm sounding like a bougie little media boy, and that's what I am. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. I am shocked that there are this many people that care about the Texans' schedule. I don't know what's wrong with you. But hey, Jesse's in Conroe. Jesse, you got a thought on the Texans' opener against the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get a primetime game, but, I mean, that's about as close a primetime game you can get. All eyes will be on Lamar Jackson because all the wash about his contract. And finally, for the first time in his career, you know, he finally got two decent weapons at receiver. And he made a ridiculous statement that he wants to throw for 6,000 yards, which was very comical. So everyone will be tuned into that game to see if Lamar Jackson can live up to his contract and he's finally got some weapons. And I would love to see Stroud beat Jackson that game. It would make the Ravens a laughing stock of the league.
Jesse, you seem to hate both the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Just an observation.
That?
You seem to hate the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I need a backstory here. Is it just the comics?
Comically on me, I mean, I have an NFL memes page on social media, and he seems to be the easiest person to make fun of in the NFL because he's always doing something ridiculous. Like, he said he was his own agent, then he said his mom was his agent. Every week he gives us something to laugh about.
Does he?
I think the Ravens are... The Ravens are ridiculous for giving him that contract. They were pretty much pressured into it. I have no idea why they gave one of the most inaccurate passers.
All right, Jesse, appreciate the phone call. Like, you're starting to repeat the same stuff. I think Jesse's a Steelers fan. It's fine. Sorry, Lamar Jackson's not that funny. He's not.
I do like that his case for the week one being basically a primetime game is all eyes will be on Lamar Jackson. It's a very funny.
Definitely will not.
It's basically a primetime game for the Texans. Why? Everyone's going to be watching the team the Texans are playing.
Exactly. That's why they're not in any primetime game, Sean. Look, they're not going to be watching that game. That game, because maybe the Ravens actually have a big game offensively because it's the first game. Like, that could be on NFL primetime, but they will just show Lamar Jackson highlights. By the way, still exists, the show, but you have to basically watch it on ESPN+. Plus. That show was the best.
Is it live? Do they ever show
it
live?
It is. Okay. It is live. Yeah, it starts basically at...
Like between the last game,
it's like
and
6:30
the...
Central Time up to Sunday Night Football, yeah. So it's like about 48 minutes. So it's Berman and Booger McFarland. It still holds up. Still got the music. Berman's got his. He's not throwing 100 anymore. He's throwing about 83. But hey, it's still Chris Berman. I love Chris Berman.
So week one at Baltimore against the
Prime
Ravens.
Prime time game, basically.
Week two,
even though it's gonna have like the F team on CBS.
Week two, Indianapolis Colts in Houston. Then they go to Jacksonville in the stadium that's crumbling around us. And then they host the Steelers week four. Do you think 2-2 is out of the realm of possibility, Paul?
No, I don't. I actually don't. But again.
Thank you for entertaining that question.
Like, leave that to the competitor right now. That's what they're
doing.
And
then at Falcons?
Stop. This is all
Saints. They can be 4-2 before the bye
this
week.
This is everyone's fault. Why are we stuck on this? It's funny. After the show yesterday, we were sitting around in the break room and we were talking about the NFL schedule and we're all like, it's so stupid. And then we were like, but this game's interesting.
But then we talked about it for 10 minutes.
Yes. But I stayed here until 1 o'clock being drawn into conversation saying, hey, the NFL schedule release is so stupid. But look at week four. Like it just kept happening. I don't know what it is. What has the NFL done to our brains? Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, what were the highlights of the schedule? Oh, my God. What did I do to the rundown? I might have to throw out the rundown. I can't do this anymore. I can't. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's it. We're done forever. Bye.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. I know, we're still talking about the NFL schedule, but it's not because of us. We didn't want it. We wanted to talk about James Harden sucking in the fourth quarter. Jason Tatum almost pulling a James Harden. We'll do that at 10:45. So, the Texans have zero primetime games. Probably for the best. Let's all admit it. The teams that have the most primetime games, 6, Chiefs, Bills, Cowboys. That makes sense, right? Cowboys are still the Cowboys. Bills have Josh Allen. Chiefs, obviously, the defending Super Bowl champions. The Chargers having 6 primetime games to me is bleeping crazy. 6? They are definitely going to be 6-11 next year. Definitely, and I think Staley's going to be fired close to the end of the year. He's lucky to have a job now. Think Kellen Moore is going to change things? I think any Cowboys fan will tell you they're kind of happy that Kellen Moore is gone. Kellen Moore and his constantly open mouth. Always on the sideline.
Huh?
5 primetime games. The Jets. The Packers. The Vikings. Raiders. Eagles. And 49ers. Eagles, 49ers make sense. Jets, Giants make sense from the New York perspective. Vikings, they're kind of boring with Kirk Cousins, but at least they were good last year, winning all of those close games. Probably a bit of a regression to the mean coming for them. I would imagine they're going to be like 9-8 this coming year. The Packers and Jordan Love having 5 primetime games. The Raiders and Jimmy Garoppolo having 5 primetime games. That makes no sense to me. Continuing to go through all the nationally televised teams. The Lions have 4 primetime games, including the season opener against Kansas City. The Bears have 4. I think that's just because Chicago's got a big fan base, but the Bears being foisted in primetime, along with, in the past, NFC East games, has always been a bane of my existence. Russell Wilson and the Broncos still getting a little bit of generosity with Sean Payton aboard. They get 4. The Ravens have 4. That makes sense. But per a caller, everyone's going to be watching to see Lamar Jackson, who said that he wants to throw for 6,000 yards, fail.
They basically have 5, if you think about week one.
Against the Texans, yeah. Right. That's maybe the biggest primetime game of all for Baltimore. The Bengals only have 4. The Bengals should have more than some of the teams that we were asking about before. Patriots having 4 is too many. It is.
There is like a certain brand of... like the 4, it's like the Bears, I don't want to watch that team. Like, not just, like, I think they won't be that good. It's just, also, like, stylistically, like, the Bears just play awful football.
They do. It's always
boring. They have the number one pick this year.
Even if you like Justin Fields, it's always awful.
The Broncos, they scored 19 points in every game last year. The Bengals are good. The Patriots.
They're not good anymore.
Yeah, they also.
I'll even admit it.
They also scored probably like 24 points every game.
That's all you're getting. Brutal to watch.
And a brutal 24 points. And then the Steelers. Like, it's just all these teams that are just brutal to watch. Then we're going to get four primetime games.
The Steelers and Patriots are about on the same level where it's like, okay, it's a 7-9 win team.
And the reason they have four primetime games is just like the helmets that they wear. The helmets and uniforms.
You're probably right.
The Steelers are on.
The Saints have three. I don't get that. It's Derek Carr. And it's not like the Saints have that big of a fan base nationally.
They have to have, like, one early season. I feel like if you get a new veteran quarterback, you just automatically get, like, two primetime games. You just get two more just for week three Monday Night Football. So they can be like, look at how he's operating this new offense.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Seahawks, Jaguars, and Dolphins with three apiece. I think you can make a case that all should get more. But
I like the teams on the three line more than the four line.
I would agree with you there. Except for the Saints. And we love Saints fans here.
But the Saints wouldn't be the worst one to have four.
I think Saints fans are like, the NFC South sucks and they could win it with seven wins. The Bucks have two. How? Brady's not there anymore. Bucks fans barely care. The Browns have two. Browns should probably have more because they have the Deshaun Watson situation. At the very least, they should be better. On paper, they're pretty good. The Titans having two makes no sense. They're going to suck. I think the Titans and the Cardinals are going to be the two worst teams in the league. The Cardinals, Colts, Falcons, and Texans don't have primetime games. Panthers have two. L.A. Rams have two. And the Commanders have one. So there you go. National primetime games. I'm done. I'm done talking about the effing schedule. F this. Paul Gamacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. James Harden. Pulled a bit of a James Harden in the fourth quarter last night for the Philadelphia 76ers, who lost to the Boston Celtics. That series going to a Game 7 on Sunday. And Jason Tatum with one of the all-time strangest performances in a game, going James Harden until the last couple of minutes, and one of the more annoying quotes you'll ever hear from somebody who just had a strange, in a bad way, game in a closeout spot. I guess he closed it out well. Paul Galancho, you'll hear what Tatum had to say next. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I think I have a segment idea for later. Where does NFL schedule talk on the Paul Gallant Show rank among the usual topics that this show discusses? Like when I talk music, when I talk about fast food and slander you for being fat slobs. James Harden talk, Star Wars talk, history talk, Deshaun Watson talk, baseball talk, my style. I think that's something. We'll come back to it in the next hour of the show. Last night, you might have seen what was a game that I think took 10 years off of my life. The Boston Celtics edge the Philadelphia 76ers to force a Game 7 in that series between those two teams. And it was such a weird end, except for in one regard. James Harden did not play well in the fourth quarter. He missed two threes. He had a shot blocked by Al Horford on a layup. He missed another. He had a bad pass. In fact, like all of the things that he did of note in the fourth were defense. He had a steal and he also had a blocked shot. Meanwhile, you had Jason Tatum almost pulling a James Harden down the stretch. He started off 1-for-13 in this game. He had some really bad fouls, including a clear path one that seemed to give Philadelphia a ton of momentum, but Philly wasn't able to keep going with it. I was actually at a point once, Sean, watching last night's game, where much like when the Rockets benched James Harden in Game 6 of their series against the Los Angeles Clippers and would go on to win. I was, in fact, tweeting the Celtics need to bench Jason Tatum. And then all of a sudden, he just goes crazy. And I'm glad that I was not in Joe Mazzulla's shoes, because I legitimately would have benched Jason Tatum in that spot. He was terrible until that point.
He was like 1 for 15. Like, he just kept bricking shots. It was actually insane. He would also just turn the ball over, driving to the basket. It really was a rough game, and it really is like the ultimate like PR, I don't know, salvage job of all time, by just knocking down like 4 shots to where it turns into Jason Tatum closed it out when it mattered the most. Where it's like, actually, until like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Celtics might have still won and just like done it without Jason Tatum.
Seriously, they just needed somebody else.
He just closed it. That's all he did.
But he closed it in style. And it led to this moment after the game. And look, credit to Tatum for fighting through all of that and ultimately having the finish that he did. He's played a lot better late in games than he has early in all of the games in this series, which is also a weird anomaly. Like, he's been so bad in the first half and first quarter. But Tatum had this to say after the game.
I'm one of the best basketball players in the world. You know, go through struggles, go through slumps. It's a long game. And, you know, thankful I got some great teammates that held it down. Brogdon, JB, Smart, Al. And they all trusted me, right? They tell me keep taking great looks. It's going to fall. Keep impacting the game in other ways. And all that mattered was we won this game, right? Give ourselves another chance. Come back home, you know, for Game 7.
Humbly, I'm one of the best players in the world.
Yep.
I mean, in a way, he's right. Tatum was first-team All-NBA this year.
And when you say one of the best players in the world, like, well, there's a lot of people that play basketball. There's only 450 of them that play in the NBA.
That's true.
So, like...
he's not wrong.
They're all one of the best basketball players in the world.
Can you say, humbly...
I'm the best?
In anything.
Can the word humbly be followed with I'm the best? I'm not sure.
Humbly... I am the best at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at forgetting what I'm talking about mid-segment. Is that humble?
That actually is humble.
Because I'm not really bragging. Yeah. I'm just explaining my weakness.
If he said humbly, I had the best game where a player starts 1 for 13 of all time, he would have been right. And it would have actually been humble.
He would have been... That would have been an all-time line. I would have laughed at that. I wouldn't have known if he's being serious or not.
Yeah, that too. What was his, like, final... like, he probably still shot, like, an awful percentage.
I can't look at it.
He was 5 for 21. Humbly, I had the best 5 for 21 game of all time.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Dick Willie says, that's like saying Davis Mills is humbly one of the best quarterbacks in the world. But it's true!
Yeah...
on that same level.
That is like Davis Mills saying that after week 18 against the Colts, where he stunk it up, and made 3 good throws. And 2 of them should have been intercepted. But then after walking off the field, talking to whoever I actually don't think that the CBS F team has a sideline interview after the game. But if he talks to whoever and he goes, humbly, I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
It really is that. I'm trying to think of other situations like this. This is an all-time line.
He played so much better in Game 5. he had 36 points on, like, pretty decent shooting.
But he started off terribly in that game, too. Like, it took him a while to get going. Do you think the Germans said during World War II, humbly, I think we're one of the strongest powers in the world?
I don't think they said humbly.
No, they wouldn't have said humbly. They would have been like, we're the best. Hashtag Aryans.
Yeah, because of our lineage.
And that's why they've been canceled forever. You can't even say the word Nazi in Europe. Like, people get very, very sensitive. You can't even say it as a joke. God, imagine living in a world where you can't call people Nazis in a melodramatic way. Can't be me. Not my United States of America. I'm trying to think of other situations where this actually could work. Because, again, it's just ridiculous to say, humbly, I'm the best.
If James Harden said, humbly, I'm one of the best players in the world after the game. It was game five against the Clippers. Or no, it was game six against the Clippers.
He wouldn't say humbly, though.
when he was on the bench during the run, he was like, humbly.
He wouldn't say that. He would say, I'm one of the best, and then he would try to have Kevin McHale fired, which he did. So that's what James Harden would do, not say it humbly. He's said it before, like, I'm one of the best players in the world.
Well, I think all the guys who are one of the best players in the world have said, I'm one of the best players in the world before.
Probably.
They just don't say it after they no-show for 2.5 hours.
It's Kanye West energy. Kanye's the only person that would say this. Humbly, I'm the best rapper there's ever been.
Do you think that's maybe trying to court Jaylen Brown, get Jaylen Brown back on the right side? Because Jaylen Brown loves himself some Kanye.
Does he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Some recent Kanye, too. Not just the old stuff.
If I'm Jaylen Brown and I haven't been that involved over the course of this series and I'm hearing Jason Tatum say that, even if I'm happy Tatum
came to bricked 12 straight shots.
Right. I'm thinking to myself, like, are you even the best player on this team? Humbly? Anyway. As far as the other side of things, there is some frustration. The end of the game was strange in that it's like the Sixers forgot that they had Joel Embiid. Embiid had two shots in the last 6 minutes. And if you've watched this series, when he's been on the court, especially the last couple of games, the Celtics have had no answer for him. And Embiid had this to say after the game. He sounded pissed.
Joel, what did you feel like the biggest issue was with the half-court offense down the stretch?
I think it was three things. We had a lot of wide-open shots. We didn't make them. We stopped moving the ball. And I don't think I touched the ball the last 4 minutes of the game. Like I said, miss a lot of good looks. I didn't touch the ball at all.
I don't even think Harden had many shots the last 4 minutes of the game. It felt like James Maxey kind of got crazy.
Tyrese Maxey. It felt like D'Anthony, maybe not specifically at the very end of the game, but during the fourth quarter, every time like the ball would have some movement and then they find a wide open shooter, it was always either D'Anthony Melton or PJ Tucker, who are like the guys that Boston wants to shoot the ball.
Right, right.
And that, it felt like that happened like
a lot.
Six times.
So is that on Harden? I think Josh has brought up a good point with me. Kicking Harden is now low-hanging fruit. And I do think that Harden deserves credit for some of the games that he's had in this series. Three of the games he's played very well. But down the stretch of this game, I mean, this is kind of what you expect from James Harden in a big spot, in a closeout game. And you wonder what the hell he's going to bring to the table in Game 7. I guess this is going to determine how we feel about James Harden going into the offseason.
Isn't that so funny, by the way? that and likely like for the rest of his career, because whoever wins the series is going to be either the favorite or right behind the Nuggets as far as favorites to win the title. And so, really, James Harden has a chance to either be the favorite to win the finals or to be, same old James Harden, playoff loser. And he basically carried the Sixers in all three of their wins.
He's the only reason that this series isn't over in Boston, hasn't advanced, in my opinion, because it took Embiid until literally, the last game to play well, game five? I mean, it took him a while to get going. And Harden in game one and game four literally won the Sixers the game with those last second shots that he had. So you do have to give him credit for it. But it's very easy to go back into the same old James Harden criticism after what you saw. In his favor, there are 2 days off before Game 7. So he should be as 100% as possible. I would say the same thing about Joel Embiid. Like, those are the two things they have going into this Game 7 in Boston. I actually don't know how it's going to play out because it felt like Boston was trying to lose that game at the end, too. It was a terrible finish to that game. And I did not like it at all.
I mean, game sevens are all... So the stat is that like 80% of game sevens, the home team wins, which isn't crazy. It's a little crazy. It's that high, but it makes sense that, you know, normally the team that's hosting game seven is the better team. So they're going to win more often. And then you're also at home. But in the last, I want to say since the 2019 playoffs, excluding the bubble, because obviously there's no home court in the bubble, that teams are like one game under 500 in home game sevens. That's crazy to me.
That is nuts. That is nuts. We'll see how this one goes. I'm not thrilled. This is going to be probably a very drink heavy Sunday for me watching my Celtics.
You won the Jason Tatum plays like
humbly like the best player in the league.
Humbly like dog bleep, yes. For three and a half quarters. It was like, honestly, you were right about benching Jason Tatum.
He was so bad.
You're right.
He was so bad in that game. Anyway, that's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, can you think of a Houston sports loss with more of a no-show than what you saw from the Phoenix Suns in last night's second straight back-to-back years getting their asses kicked while getting eliminated kind of game? Can you think of a Houston sports team that's blown it like that? There are some. I got some national examples of some of the worst losses ever, but Phoenix is in some rare territory right now. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.